Well, if you have your scriptures with you this morning, I invite you to turn to Genesis 39. Genesis chapter 39, we'll be looking at verses 6 through 23. Last week, even though we found Joseph in some hard and foreign circumstances, we learned that the Lord, Yahweh, was always with him. And that changed everything. It said that the Lord blessed everything that Joseph did. Because Joseph was so content in trusting God and in his providence over his life and trusting in God's presence with him, no matter where he go, he could faithfully love those around him, no matter the circumstance. To help you remember, Joseph is now a slave to Potiphar. He's a captain of the Egyptian guard. He's like the head of the secret police, if you will. Joseph is a young man living in a foreign land now with foreign gods. But he continued to trust himself to the care of the Lord and served Potiphar like no other. And Potiphar took notice. He saw all that Joseph did. He saw his integrity. He saw his trustworthiness like he saw in no one else. Potiphar saw his skills, how the Lord blessed the labor of his hands. So Joseph, over time, was promoted to take care of the whole estate of Potiphar. Joseph became the manager of Potiphar's house and all his business dealings. Things seemed to be going really well at this point for Joseph. But as we will learn, that will quickly change again. Joseph has been staying focused on serving God. And you would think for a person like that, just through everything he's going through, he would catch a break. That things would start to go better for him. For Joseph, because of things out of his control and because of God's providences, his circumstance is going to go from bad to even worse. So what do you do when you're trying to honor God in your life and things go from bad to worse? What do you do when you try to honor God in your life and things go from bad to worse? Joseph goes from being a favored son to a hated brother and who's almost killed. Joseph goes from wearing a beautiful coat of many colors to wearing slave clothes being sold to foreigners. In our story today, Joseph will go from being a trusted, promoted equal to his boss to a prisoner in a dark dungeon. He will be falsely accused, demeaned because of his race. His character will be tarnished, and it will land him in prison for many, many years. When that happens, what do you do? Especially when you're just trying to live unto the Lord. I'm sure you've had similar experiences where life was hard and you were just hoping for a break. And you finally got one and you could finally breathe, but in no time, something happened to where life just seemed to get harder. Maybe you lost your job, and then you discovered a health issue, and then an appliance breaks, and then a car goes in the garage. It's easy to cry out, "What gives? What's going on?" And sometimes there's just no words to say. Don Moen, has written a praise song, and maybe you've heard of it, "God Will Make a Way," and he describes how that song came about. In the middle of a night, his family got a phone call. His sister's family, her one sister, they were in a terrible auto accident. And there was four boys in the car with them. And two of them died, and two of them were seriously hurt. And you can imagine there's no words to say. You trust in God's sovereignty, but the pain is so real and so hard, and there's just no really words to say, but you know God is sovereign and then God is good. And so he came up with these lyrics just to try to express some truths about God's providence and sovereignty. He wrote, "God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He'll make a way for me. He will be my guide, hold me closely to his side. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way." What do you do when you try to honor God and in life things seem to go from bad to worse? You keep honoring God. You keep doing what is right. You trust his sovereignty. You trust his providence and know God will make a way. That's what Joseph's going to discover today. Let me pray and we'll walk through this passage. Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray that you would teach us, that you would guide us. Lord, that when we find ourselves in hard, difficult, foreign circumstances over and over, that we continually to trust your sovereignty and providence and keep living in a way that's honorable to you, knowing that you will make a way, knowing that you're right in a story, knowing that you are accomplishing your will. We'll need your strength and your power to do that, Lord. We pray that you'd fill us with your Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. So if you have your scriptures, Genesis 39, we'll start at verse 6. So he, meaning Potiphar, left all that he had in Joseph's charge, and because of him he had no concern about anything but the food that he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance, and after a time his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Behold, because of my master has no concern about anything in the house, and he has put everything that he has in my charge, he is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except yourself, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And as he spoke, and as she spoke to Joseph day after day, he would not listen to her, to lie beside her, or to be with her. And so we'll pause there. And the first thing I want to say is that living for the Lord will not shield you from temptations, but you can overcome them. Living for the Lord will not shield you from temptations, but you can overcome them. In fact, as a believer, you will probably notice more and more temptations in your life. For when the Spirit of God works in your heart and you come to faith and you trust in Christ, you're spiritually alive. There's a break in the power of sin. But as you walk in the light of Jesus, you will see and understand more and more sin in your life and more temptations that are around you. But one of the great truths in Scripture is that we can overcome those temptations. We don't have to give in to them through the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen to 1 Corinthians 10:13. Paul writes, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape so that you may be able to endure it." Sure, you will wrestle against sin and temptation in all of your life, but you can overcome them. You don't have to yield to them. God makes a way. I think we become lazy in our walk with God. We know the struggle of sin, and I think we just become lazy and we just kind of give into it. But as Christians, we know we are called to put off sinful ways and put on Christ-like ways. We are to have a warlike mentality, that we are to put to death the desires and temptations that come our way that aren't pleasing to the Lord. We see Joseph doing that here. Things are going well for him. He's pretty much an equal with his boss, and he takes care of his whole estate. But since Joseph is smart, a hard worker, and handsome, it's brought some temptations. This in the form of his boss's wife. She saw Joseph. She was attracted to this young, hardworking, strong, and smart man. She gave in to her imaginations and her desires and wanted to lie with him. She wanted to commit adultery with him. And she would flirt and offer herself to Joseph day after day after day. You can imagine the temptation for Joseph. It could have been very easy for him to give in to it, but he didn't. He didn't give in to it. And why did he not give in to it? At least three reasons. The first one, he fixed his thoughts on what he had, not what he didn't have. He fixed his thoughts on what he had, not what he didn't have. Potiphar let him run the whole place. Potiphar put him in charge of everything, he says. He said he was like a free man. He was well taken care of. He didn't just sit there and dwell on what he didn't have. He didn't let his mind wander. He was too busy for that. He was like a co-equal with his boss. He told her, "Look, Potiphar loves me. He trusts me. I have a whole run of this house. You're his wife. Why would I need you? Why would I do that to Potiphar, my boss?" He fixed his thoughts on what he had, not what he didn't have. So when temptations come your way and you want to give into it and you hear that voice saying, sure, you deserve this. Sure, you need this. Remember what you do have. Remember how you have been blessed and be content in that. Another reason why he didn't give in is that he didn't go along with the way of the culture. He had it fixed in his mind. He wasn't going to go the way of the Egyptians. Joseph was far away from home. No one in his family would know if he would lie with her. This is something everyone did in this culture. This is something that some men dream about, sadly. Not so for Joseph. His values weren't shaped by the winds of the culture, but on his relationship to the Lord, to Yahweh. The Lord designed sexual union to be between a man and a woman in the bonds of marriage, and it's very, very good. But when it goes outside of that, the temporary pleasure turns into thorns and thistles of years of heartache and consequences that can impact not only you, but so many around you and your family and friends. Joseph understood that he would not follow the ways of the culture. And thirdly, he knew it was sin. He knew it was wicked in God's sight. He knew it was wicked. Adultery is wicked. You shouldn't destroy somebody's marriage for 10 minutes of pleasure. You can have years and years of heartache. It's not worth it, and it's wicked in God's sight. What God puts together, let no man put asunder. He understood that. It was sin. Even if his family didn't know, God would see, and God detests adultery. Joseph had a right and honorable fear of Yahweh, a fear of the Lord, and that's the beginning of knowledge. That will direct you in the ways to go. That's the beginning of life, a proper reverence of God as we live. So when you face temptations, when they come your way, fix your thoughts on what you have and not what you don't. Don't go with the ways of the culture just because everybody else is doing it doesn't make it right. And live with an honorable and right fear before the Lord. These things will help you overcome temptations through the power of the Holy Spirit as you live. And think about it, when you gave in to temptations, wasn't there a way to get out of it? Think of the last time you gave in to a certain kind of temptation. What was it? Wasn't there a way you didn't have to do it? That's what 1 Corinthians is saying. Temptations come to all of us, but God provides a way out of it. You need to want to go through it. Maybe you're saying to me, Pastor Jeremy, it's so hard and I've already messed up so many times. What do I do? Well, you join the rest of us who struggle. You join the rest of us who fail, and we confess our sins. We get honest, we get real, and we get specific with God. We learn to detest those things that ought not to be in our hearts, and we confess our sins, and it says he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and you start again. You start again. You don't stay in depression. You don't stay in despair. You ask him to fill you with his Spirit and to continue to press on and find someone to help you. You need to find a brother or sister in the Lord to walk with you through it and to get wisdom and counsel. Living for the Lord will not shield you from temptations, but you can overcome them. You fix your mind on what you have and don't go along with the culture and have a proper fear of the Lord. The story continues. Potiphar's wife won't give up. But one day when he went into the house to do his work and none of the men of the house was there in the house, she caught him by his garment saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and he fled and got out of the house. And as soon as she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and had fled out of the house, she called to the men of her household and said to them, "See, he has brought among us a Hebrew to laugh at us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And as soon as he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried out, he left his garment beside me and fled and got out of the house." Then she laid up his garment up by her until the master came home, and she told him the same story, saying, "The Hebrew servant whom you have brought among us came in to me to laugh at me. But as soon as I lifted up my voice and cried, he left his garment beside me and fled out of the house." As soon as his master heard the words that his wife spoke to him, "This is the way your servant treated me," his anger was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in prison. We'll stop there and recognize living for the Lord will not shield us from gross injustices, but you can endure through it. Living for the Lord will not shield us from gross injustices, but we can endure through it. Joseph kept rejecting her advances. He was living honorably for the Lord. And as he goes into work on this day, for some reason there's no other men in the house. And so she approaches him and approaches him aggressively. All Joseph could do was run. And at times that's what you need to do. You just run, especially in the realms of sexual temptation. You run, you flee, you turn off the computer, you get out of that situation, you leave the bar, you leave the office, you leave the room where you are by yourself with this other person, and you flee that sexual temptation. As he ran, she held onto his garment and she became enraged. She thought, if I can't have him, then no one can. She falsely accuses him of trying to rape her. She first told the men of the household, and then she told Potiphar, her husband. She was very wicked. She's very manipulative. She demeaned Joseph's character, lied about what happened, pointing out that he was a Hebrew, defaming his ethnicity, blaming Potiphar for bringing him into the house. And then Potiphar puts him in prison. There were all lies, a gross injustice, all for a power trip. Living for the Lord will not shield us from gross injustices. We see the racism just this week. Think of Christians all throughout history, men of color, men and women of color, who have experienced gross injustices, even though they've been following the Lord just because of the color of their skin. We speak out against it and we press on. We think of women who have experienced sexism and have been manipulated just because they're women. How they've been exploited over the years. They could be Christians following Jesus, but they still feel gross injustice. We speak out against it. We declare it to be wrong, but we press on and endure. And you can think of all the injustices, and you may have experienced some of them yourself as a worker, as a Christian worker, not getting promoted or being left out or not being considered just because you're a follower of Christ. Gross injustices, but we press on. Why? Why do we press on? Because we believe in God's sovereignty and we trust His providence. God is writing His story. God is accomplishing His will. And enduring gross injustices could mean costing our lives. Some people will die at the hands of wickedness and gross injustice, but for the believer, that's the doorway to eternal life. As Paul said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. This past week on America's Got Talent, there was a man on that show singing, "Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me." And he was in prison for 37 years, I believe, all for something that he didn't do. Can you imagine 37 years of your life in prison for something that you didn't even do? And because of the new DNA test, they were able to find out that he wasn't the one who committed the crime, and he was released. And they asked him on the show, "How did you endure? How did you keep going?" He says, "They can imprison your body, but they can't imprison your mind. They can imprison your body, but they can't imprison your mind." When we experience gross injustices in our life, we must remember God's sovereignty, and He's accomplishing His will. There's no greater pillow to rest on than God's sovereignty. Peter, in 1 Peter, when he was writing to Christians who were suffering unjustly for doing good, he reminded them who they were. He said, "You guys are exiles. This world is not your home. It's full of corruption. It's full of heartache. And you will suffer for doing good. But this is not your home. This is a short time compared to eternity. This is nothing compared to what the Lord has prepared for you. An inheritance that's imperishable, undefiled, kept in heaven for you." And he reminded them of who they are as they're waiting for their home. He says, "You're a chosen race. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're a people for His possession to proclaim the excellencies of Christ." This is who you are. No matter what people do to you, you are God's. You belong to God's, and God will bring you home. And so because of that, Peter writes to them as they endure unjust suffering. He says this, "Do not repay evil for evil. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. This is where you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. And we see Joseph doing that. As things go from bad to worse, he's now in prison. We see how he responds in verse 21. It says, "But the Lord was with Joseph. He showed him steadfast love, gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners who were in prison. Whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed." So the last point for this morning, as you live for the Lord through these circumstances, you will still experience his steadfast love. Joseph finds himself now in prison, a dark dungeon of a place, and he had to choose again how he would respond. Again, he could be depressed, bitter, or vengeful, or he could still do what's right and still honor God. And he chose the latter. We see here the great truth that we discussed last week, that the Lord was with him. And that changed everything with Joseph. He could go on. He would be in this prison for about 10 years, but the Lord was with him. The keeper of the prison noticed, and he put Joseph in charge. He found him trustworthy, a man of integrity, and he blessed Joseph, even in that dark situation. You may not be where you want to be right now or where you hope to be, but it's where the Lord needs you, and he needs you here right now. That's what he's doing in Joseph's life. You may not be where you want to be or where you hope to be, but it's where the Lord wants you right now. The Lord is doing a work in your life and those around you. His providence has you right where he wants you. Vody Bachman says, "Obedience sometimes results in more hardship. Sometimes telling the truth gets you fired. Sometimes playing by the rules gets you a fourth place ribbon while the cheaters get gold, silver, and bronze. Sometimes refusing to go along with the wishes of an adulteress gets you thrown in prison. Our hope, however, is in God's ultimate justice and in God's providence." Habakkuk 3 says, gives this illustration of things that aren't going so well. He writes, "Though the fig tree does not blossom, nor there be fruit on the vines that produce olive, and the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, that the flock be cut off from the fold, and there's no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation." When things look hard, when things look desperate, when things look to be at their worst, "I will still rejoice in Yahweh, the God of my salvation. He's everything." As David says in Psalm 63:3, "Because of your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you." God's steadfast love is better than life. And this text, it says, the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love. It's the beautiful Hebrew word hesed. It's a love that is sure, dependable, reliable, constant, unwavering, fixed. It's constant. His steadfast love for you never changes, and it's an eternal love above all of our hard circumstances. When you go through hard providences and injustices in life, you may think God's love has left you. And this story reminds you that that's not true, that as we're united to Christ through faith, God's love for us never wavers. It is sure. The light of God's love and faithfulness will continue to shine through these hard circumstances. And the beautiful passage from Romans 8, who talks about all the hardships we may face as a Christian, and reminds us that nothing separates us from God's love. Paul writes, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, shall distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword?" It's like you're being killed all day, like a sheep to be slaughtered. This is the life of the Christian at times. It can be hard, difficult. Paul says, "No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I am convinced," he says, "that neither death nor life, angels or rulers, nor things present, nor the things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depths, or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus." you find yourself in hard situations and you're trusting in Christ, know that His steadfast love never changes. Continue to trust His sovereignty. Continue to trust His providence. And just rely on Him. Know that His love for you has never changed. He that who gave you His one and only Son, when you didn't want Him, when you would nail Him to the cross, He's still working in your life, even today, in that hard, difficult circumstance. As you live for the Lord through these circumstances, you will still experience His steadfast love. What do you do when you try to honor God in all your life and things go from bad to worse? You keep honoring God. You keep doing what is right. You keep trusting His sovereignty. You keep trusting His providence and know that God will make a way. As the song says, God will make a way when there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide, hold me closely to His side. With love and strength for each new day, He will make a way. Living for the Lord will not shield you from temptations, but you can overcome them. Living for the Lord will not shield you from gross injustices, but you can endure through them just like the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you live for the Lord through these circumstances, God's steadfast love will shine through. You will know it. You will experience. Wait upon the Lord and serve Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray that You would take these truths and implant them on our mind. Lord, it's so easy to give into temptations. It's so easy to give into despair when things are going from bad to worse. Help us to remember Your steadfast love. Help us to be faithful and to serve You. Help us to see Christ as our example. Help us to remember His great love that never changes. And let us live lives that are honoring to Him. We pray for His sake and His glory. Amen.